We're about ready to get started this evening because we do have a full program to honor Bob, and we also have, of course, the big record hop downstairs. So if you're not finished with your dessert yet, feel free to continue. And I do say, ladies and gentlemen, and honored guests and fellow roasters, good evening. Now, we've got Toastmasters with us. A lot of friends of mine are Toastmasters. We have one of the best parliamentarians in the entire northeastern Indiana area in Indiana and in this northeastern section of the nation. So I say that, but it's not going to be formal anymore. That's it, guys. From this point on, don't count my odds, don't count anything, because we're going to have fun. Yahoo! You bet, you're right there. You see what I mean? Yeah, you see. From this point on, I'm not responsible. I always like to say, really, when I'm out speaking in Wolanda, folks, and I mean this seriously, you gentlemen, if you want to loosen that tie, kick off the shoes, relax a little bit, do so. And you ladies, you do whatever's appropriate. That we'll go from there. I mean, have a great time. Well, I do officially want to thank you for coming this evening and welcome to the 13th annual Bob Seavers Retirement Party. We're going to have a great time. Bob was worried about it being a roast. And, Bob, I want to tell you, I talked to our friends up here, and it's not going to be a roast, it's going to be a massacre, believe me, before the whole thing is over. One thing I did notice, and I want to say sincerely, Chris Roberts mentioned this would be a heck of a place to start a radio station. We have some of the finest radio people that you'd ever want to meet, and I mean that from a personal standpoint, and certainly... You see what kind of a night it's going to be as far as talent is concerned. And this represents various alumni of WoWo, and we'll tell you what they have done, some of the things they haven't done. And we also have, you notice that we separated them. We kept the prominent folks, the the civic leaders and the like on this side, and the rest of us over here, and you'll see why. Before we get rolling, though, I do want to call up a gentleman to give an official welcome here this evening on behalf of WOWO and Price Communications, our new general manager and vice president, Joe Byes. Joe?
As most of you know, I'm somewhat new to Fort Wayne. Now I found out why the station was in so much trouble when I got here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here this evening to honor a friend of us all, a fellow by the name of Bob Seavers. I think that as the evening progresses, Bob, I think that you may wish that perhaps you'd gotten into a different line of work, perhaps one with normal people. But I can say in all sincerity that friendship is a strange thing. It's a thing that is not measured in days or years or months. It's really measured in words and in deeds. And you can know someone for a very brief time and think and know that they're your friend. And I think Bob Seavers is a friend to all of us. Many of you have heard the new WoWo over the last few weeks and have heard a lot about the new WoWo. And I can say that the legacy that people like Bob Seavers, and Bob Seavers in particular, have left to this radio station is the reason and is the heartbeat of the new WoWo, and always will be. It's very fitting, then, that we would be honoring him this evening. So, Bob, sit back and enjoy yourself and lick your wounds.
Thank you, thank you,
thank you. Thank you, Joe. There's another gentleman over at that table I'd like to have stand up because he also is new to our WoWo staff, but not new to Fort Wayne because he is a Fort Wayne native, but our new program manager, Chuck Bailey. Chuck, would you stand up, please, and part of the Good Morning team. We're glad to have him. Speaking of graduates of WoWo, we have another person here this evening who is going to be representing Mayor Paul Helmke, who is understandably in Washington. I don't blame him. Bob, in all fairness, if I had a chance to go to the inauguration or this, guess where I'd be?
I know.
Kenny would be the MC up here with us. Linda Buskirk, please come up. We're proud of Linda for a number of reasons. Of course, she is one of our alums, one of our graduates. She came to us as an intern out of Ball State University in that fine program they have down there and became a very, very talented news editor and then moved on to county government, got a real job like the rest of the folks here, say, and is representing Mayor Paul Helmke this evening. Linda Buskirk.
Good
Thank you, Dugan. Thank you very much. I can't roast Bob, so I'm going to read a serious proclamation. Whereas Bob Sievers was literally baptized into the radio business in 1936. He fell into the baptismal font, I think, didn't you? At the Baptist church, he fell into a baptism. Anyway. And whereas, through more than 50 years of changes in America, from the big band sound to rock and roll and disco, from live commercials to laser disc recordings, from huge vacuum tube transmitters to AM stereo, Bob Sievers has remained a constant friend to his listeners. And whereas Bob Sievers' voice has brought the world messages of laughter, disaster, peace, and charity, he has warned us about approaching danger, he has praised us when we succeeded at greatness, he has thanked us when we helped a child or lost animal, and he's caused tears of joy when soldiers returning from war heard his voice and knew they were safe at home. And whereas Bob Sievers' unparalleled success in the radio industry will never be duplicated, and whereas Bob Sievers has been Fort Wayne's number one diplomat over the airwaves of radio and around the world in his travels, and whereas the people who live in the homes and farms of Wowoland could have no better representative to symbolize the warmth and family values we share, now therefore I, Paul Helmke, mayor of the city of Fort Wayne, Indiana, do hereby proclaim Friday, January 20, 1989 as Bob Sievers Day, and invite all citizens to join me in recognizing Uncle Bob as our best friend, humanitarian, entertainer, and representative.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. I want to mention one other thing. You'll notice there are some video cameras here as we're moving this evening, and they are videotaping the entire event. And if you would like to have a copy of that, just see any of the cameramen afterwards, and they'll give you the details. You can pick up an order for them and the like. And that's actually Bob Sievers' endeavor. He's paying them. He's going to get a ripoff from the thing, but I wasn't supposed to tell you that. We're honest. Yeah, isn't that something, guys? I'll tell you. Bob, I couldn't help this evening as I looked down at our colleagues, former workers. My gosh, some of these guys are getting older. You notice that? Some of them are even losing their hair. It's amazing, Bob. I can't believe that myself. Yeah. Uh-huh, okay. They shall remain nameless, yeah. I want to call upon one of my partners in the morning, of course, Chris Roberts, friend of Bob Sievers, one of the most respected WoWo staff members. Am I reading this right? Is this... Okay, Jukebox Saturday morning host and co-host of the Good Morning Team. We've got more people in there in the Good Morning Team now than they have in a battalion. But come on up, Chris, and give us your opinion of Bob Sievers.
Thank you, Dugan. I know these events have a tendency to run long. We have a number of people on the dais this evening. I have a cold, and so I'll keep my remarks very brief. Actually, those aren't my ad-libs. My ad-libs are right here. And this is the one I didn't write anything on. Bob, I am going to be brief because I'm also one of the guys running the equipment here tonight. Many of us are here in this business tonight at this radio station, throughout the country at other radio stations, and a lot of them have been very, very successful at what we do, and it's because we've all learned a lot from you. We've respected you throughout the years, and certainly there are times when you have carried us on that radio station, rating point by rating point, when a lot of us didn't carry our own weight, and I'm here to thank you personally for that and to say it's been a pleasure working with you and a lot of times for you. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
The next gentleman is going to give us another view and another angle, if you will. This is from Assyria. This is the Syria side of the dais, and this is the other side over here. And you shall see why. But Tim Borney, who is president, general manager of the Asher Agency in Fort Wayne, will reflect on some of the Sievers stories from the advertising agency viewpoint. Tim?
I don't know anything there. How are you, Bob?
Hi, Tim.
Thanks, Dugan. I'm honored tonight to represent the advertising community as we honor Bob Sievers. Over the years, Bob has gone out of his way to help our agencies and our clients. We're grateful for all he did and grateful for a chance to pay him back tonight. And boy, are we going to pay him back tonight. Most people who listen to radio don't think of the things we advertisers do, but Bob was an advertiser's dream. In our business, we buy time. Since Bob never knew when to stop talking, we always got more than we bargained for. If we paid Bob to talk for 1 minute, he'd give us two. If we paid him for two, he'd talk for four. One night, Bob's wife asked for some pillow talk, and she got a night-long monologue on the life and times of Jay Gould. When Bob talked, his information was always the best in town. If he told you the barometric pressure, you could bet your umbrella on it. If he told you the Fort Wayne Community School's lunch menu, you could bet your brown bag on it. If he told you the hog futures, you could bet your little piggy would go to market. But sometimes Bob's attention to detail got him in trouble. One day, two fellows were flying along in a hot air balloon and got lost. They decided to drop down to about 10 feet and ask someone on the ground where they were. Bob came along riding on a bicycle, and the fellows in the balloon yelled, "Hey, where are we?" Bob said, "You're 9.765 feet off the ground," and he rode off. The one fellow says to the other, "Just our luck. We get lost and run into Bob Seavers." The other guy says, "How do you know that was Bob Seavers?" And the first guy says, "Because what he told us was completely accurate and totally useless." But not everything Bob said was useless. Kids came to rely on Bob for good advice, especially when it came to school closing announcements. One day, Bob was walking through the south side of Fort Wayne when he came across a little kid pulling a wagon. Just then, the wheel fell off the wagon, and the kid said, "I'll be damned." Bob told the kid that wasn't a nice thing to say. He told the kid the next time the wheel fell off, he should say, "Praise the Lord." Well, the kid had never heard that expression, so he decided to try it. Just then, the wheel fell off again. The kid said, "Praise the Lord," and the wheel rolled itself off the sidewalk, hopped up onto the axle, and fastened itself on. Bob said, "Well, I'll be damned." The best thing about Bob was his stick-to-itiveness. When he did something, he did it forever. One time, Bob's turn signal got stuck at the corner of Wayne and Harrison, and he drove around the block 400 times. Seriously, all of us here tonight, listeners, advertisers, and friends, are awfully glad that Bob stayed in this business as long as he did and that he stayed on top. At the peak of his career, WOWO had a 26 share from womb to tomb and a 44 share in morning drive. By contrast, WMEE at its current peak has a 25 share all day, but only a 24 share in the morning. So here's some advice for those two guys in the morning. You're going to need a third and a fourth if you're ever going to catch Bob Seavers. Bob, thank you for your loyalty to the ad community and your help in all these years, and good luck to you and Harriet.
Tim, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Tim. Next gentleman we're going to bring up is certainly no stranger to WOWO and to you folks, and boy, are we glad to have him back. Bob Chase, the voice of the International Hockey League, still so. Another of the real WOWO pros and veterans, and as I mentioned, now back full-time with us, and we couldn't be happier. And boy, is he busy, along with the Comets Hockey, part of the Good Morning team on sports, and our full-time promotion and research director of WOWO, Mr. Bob Chase.
Ladies and gentlemen and friends of Mr. Seavers, Harriet, and the Seavers family, I had prepared not an especially lengthy but rather pointed roast. And late this afternoon, I had to change my plans, and I apologize for that. I received a communique from the Department of Agriculture Communication Service, Purdue University in West Lafayette, referring directly to Bob. And I felt that at this time it may be appropriate that we advise you of what's been going on. Now, this, I know many of you, in fact, most of you are well aware that over the years, one of the favorite pastimes of Bob Seavers was daily feeding the pigeons. Well, you know, everyone thought, gee, what a wonderful and humanitarian thing that man does. Today, It has been disclosed. It was purely a commercial venture. You're going to be shocked. This letter was addressed from Purdue University to Mr. Bob Seavers from the Purdue School of Aviary and Behavioral Studies. The subject was analysis of pigeon excretion in downtown Fort Wayne. And it reads, "You will be pleased to know that we have now evaluated the dietary control experiment you so graciously cooperated in over the past number of years regards pigeons in the downtown Fort Wayne area. The Auto Manufacturers of America are indebted to you for your careful logging of the various diets used to measure the acidity levels and texture quality in the droppings as regards the paint finishes used during the experimental periods. The results were very spotty, especially during the winter months, as most of the droppings froze either on contact, just prior to contact, or very shortly thereafter. Removal could in almost every case be executed with a flick of the right index finger, unless, of course, the offended party was left-handed." I read on. "Summer application presented an entirely different problem, and the diet given the birds made a stark difference in the texture, acidity levels, gelling factor, color, and permanent spotting. Paint color also had a definite value when factoring all the conditions together. Air temperature, humidity, time of day, shade or sunlight, rooftop or hood locations, and vinyl or metal roofs created some inconsistencies, but the entire experiment finally focused on one conclusion. Perfection Baking Company products had less acidity when fed to pigeons, especially early in the morning. Sandwich loaf white bread was the best summer feed," and you logged those, I know, Bob. "Excretion could be readily spotted. The texture was firmer and didn't splatter in the heat. Confining the coverage area to a minimum, and if you'll pardon the expression, it caked quicker, Bob." "Now, with regard to the winter diet experiment, in the final analysis, they gave the nod to wholesome whole wheat, Bob. You'd be pleased to know that. It seemed tailor-made for cold weather consumption and deposit, as both the texture, which was coarse, and the color, which was tan, made it easy to remove, and it was highly visible. But unlike the perfection summer studies, Bob, the wholesome excretion occasionally would dissipate in flight, sparing target areas, and even when occasionally falling on pedestrians, especially those with brown clothing, it oft times went unnoticed, unless, of course, the individual wore glasses." The report from Purdue goes on, "We sincerely appreciated your cooperation in this ongoing scientific and environmental experiment. Due to the lack of positive impact on the consumer market, neither Perfection nor Wholesome wish to make public these findings." Please remember that. They would, in fact, like to drop the whole thing. "Now, also, Bob, as you may recall, this experiment began a number of years ago with a grant from the Fort Wayne National Bank on behalf of their Owl Banks, which had been receiving some very adverse publicity due to the reputation of owls to spook pigeons, who from your daily feeding and constant mention had become the national bird of Fort Wayne, whether you knew it or not. Now, unfortunately, the grant from Fort Wayne National was also dropped, Bob, and the guarantee that you originally agreed on, $3,500 per season over the five-year period of our logging experiment, was not available, even though you had insisted you could not perform without on-demand deposits. Now, in lieu of cash, we've chosen a very special reward, which they have privileged me to present to you. Your friends have helped procure for this occasion as well, Bob, as evidenced by the deposit they've made on your behalf here. And it's probably the only pigeon drop we're aware of that is not against the law. Now, I just want to, on behalf of the university, take care of this for you. And it's signed sincerely, Charles S. Squab, Director of Deposits and Aviary and Studies. And as you can see, his friends helped with this in the process of getting it taken care of, and it'll be a permanent memento of the scientific experiment. Bob, God bless you.
Bob, next time I go into the station, I'm going to hold this out to the bathroom window so all of my friends, the pigeons, can see it.
Bob, thanks again.
There you go. And, Bob, you also get the message from Purdue University.
Oh,
that goes
you.
Along with it. God bless you and your family, and it's just a perfect positive pleasure to know you all the time. I love you.
Let's give Bob another nice hand.
Now, you're going to get your turn, Seavers. Just calm down there now. He always gets on the mic. He never gets it back. The next gentleman is a longtime friend not only of Bob Seavers, but of WOWO and the community. And when I contacted him about helping us on the dais this evening, he thought a little bit and then said, "Who is it for again?" And I said, "It's for Bob Seavers." And he said, "Well, I don't normally like to do those things. This is serious." But he said, "I will do it for Bob." J. Edward Rausch, longtime friend of Mr. WOWO, of course, former 4th District Congressman and prominent Fort Wayne and Huntington attorney, Mr. Rausch.
Well, as those of you know who know me, I am pleased to sit at this end of the table because I am a very serious-minded person. And Dugan said it just right. I don't ordinarily like to do these things. But I first want to tell you, Bob, that my dog Humphrey sends his regards.
I'll tell Hector you said that.
My dog was named after Hubert Humphrey because of his great character and enthusiastic demeanor. And for that to come from Humphrey, it should mean an awful lot for you and to you. Now, Dugan, it's no secret that WOWO has never been the same since Bob Seaver left. Seaver's left. It's never been the same. They brought Dugan Fry back. Even gave him some fringe benefits. He hasn't been feeling well lately, especially after he was turned down after an audition for a role in the new version of the musical Hair. And Chris Roberts, I listen to you every morning also. My problem with Chris is that he has a speech impediment. He talks too much. And in checking this out with unnamed people, they said I was hitting it right on the nose. These are two great people for WOWO, and I do seriously listen to you every morning, and I enjoy your remarks part of the time. Mr. Chairman and friends of Bob Seavers, I am honored and delighted to participate in this kind and gentle roast that was taken from the inaugural speech this afternoon of Bob Seavers. I'm pleased to be a part of this constituency of WOWO that honor you. They honor you this evening, and I just feel a real honor myself to be here. I must confess to you that I feel much more at home and welcome here than I would have in the nation's capital on this particular day. We all know that Bob is a very thoughtful person. It's part of his character. On one occasion, during one of his travel logs, one of his listening fans came up to Bob and said, "I'll give you a penny for your thoughts." And he struck a deal, and neither of them was cheated as a result of that deal. When Bob first interviewed for a job at WOWO, now WOWO at that time was very straight and very strict on who they hired, Bob almost lost the job. They asked him if he had any bad habits, and he said, "No, but I'm willing to learn." He got the job anyhow. Bob is so conservative.
How conservative is he, Congressman?
Well, he is so conservative that he thinks nothing should be tried for the first time. As a matter of fact, Bob is a poor man's Republican. He's one of a kind. Just one. But Bob is really brighter than he looks.
I hope so.
But, well, you took my line. On second thought, he better be. Now, in a very serious vein, I'd like to say, and this is a heartfelt expression, Bob, who I've considered a friend for many, many years, that Bob Seavers has meant much to me. And I know that there are countless thousands that in whose lives he has played a very important part. Their lives have been enriched and their spirit renewed by the presence of this man and his influence. I'd like to be presumptuous at this moment and suggest to President Bush that if he truly wants this nation to be a kinder and gentler nation, that he seek the counsel of our friend, a kind and gentle man, Bob Seavers. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Congressman. Bob, I have a telegram here I'd like to read to you, if I may. Dear Bob, as your friends gather to honor and roast you, we are with you in spirit. Our memories of you and WOWO are warm and wonderful, just like you. Best wishes for you in the future, Arlene and Dan Friel and family. Dan is, of course, a former general manager here of WOWO. Well, we had some serious moments. That's sure going to be shot to heck right now because we're going back to this side of the table again. And a guy that I've known for a long time. In fact, Calvin, I think you're from Defiance College, too, aren't you? My goodness. It just dawned on me. We've had three. We had Listo Fisher, Calvin Richards, and I also was from Defiance College. I don't know how. That is a male diploma school. Yes, that's where we got it. Good friend, as far as a lot of folks remembering Calvin Richards, you could look at different aspects of WOWO. Because Calvin was on the air as a personality. Calvin was also a heck of a WOWO Air Aces basketball player, if you remember those adventures. And Calvin was also our promotion director at WOWO for a long time and came up with some, well, we thought at the time, well, like stupid ideas. But they worked well. And, you know, that was the thing about it. Calvin always said, trust me. And we did, and most of the time it worked. Our friend Calvin Richards, and I want to say that Calvin is currently, if I may, at one of the most prominent radio stations in the United States as a sales executive, WJR in Detroit. Calvin.
Thank you. This is fascinating. This is really incredible. A kid from the streets of Toledo coming to Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1970 to be on the radio all night. And this is the fellow that would come in and bring me the donuts at 4 o'clock every morning. Wow. This is terrific, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful memories. I'm very pleased to be with you here. I've got to tell you that since I left Fort Wayne 10 years ago, I moved to Detroit, I see a lot of movers and shakers. I see a lot of politicians, business people, entertainers come into our radio station to be interviewed, the authors, the people with the video cassettes. We've got the auto industry. I look out my window, I look down on General Motors. Down, can you believe it? The largest industrial company in the world. Then we've got the Fords and Lee Iacocca a couple miles away. So when my friends heard that I was coming to Fort Wayne to pay tribute to a celebrity, they knew it had to be a real celebrity. Then I told them it was Bob Seavers. And they looked at me and they said, oh, no! Yeah, Bob who? Absolutely. But I'd like to share with you one of the personal experiences that I had. I came here in 1970, and I was one of the first, if you will, pardon me, please, at that time, one of the first, don't shake your head, Dick, one of the first Negro radio personalities ever to be on a jet. And not only that, Bob had the nerve to tell me that I had to keep in my place. Whoa! But I want to tell you what my place was. Bob was on the air. Dugan mentioned I was active with the WOWO basketball Aces. That was the charity team. I don't know if it's still in action right now. We raised a couple $100,000 for charity, and they assumed that since I was a Negro, over 6 feet tall and somewhat slim, I must be great at dribbling this basketball.
Boy, were we wrong.
They sure are fooled, Cal. Those stereotypes just don't work, folks. I got the white armbands, and I stood up there, and I yelled numbers, and everybody thought I was calling plays. I was saying, throw the ball to somebody else. We were playing our very first game at Whitco Community High School in Whitley County. Thank you. All right. It was a very special game. It was a brand new gymnasium. It was the first time we'd ever played there. And Bob began announcing a couple of weeks before this particular game that his folks, I believe it was your dad, Bob.
My father.
True story.
Think, Bob.
Bob began announcing that his father had some relatives in Whitley County, Indiana, that Bob had lost track of. And he was saying on the air, 50,000 watts. He was saying, if any of my dad's relatives want to come and, you know, say hello, make yourself known, please do so. He said this for a couple of weeks, and finally the day of the game arrived, and we were all in the dressing room. It was the only time that Coach Seavers was ever nervous before a game. He was pacing the floor in the locker room. We went out. The voice of the Aces, Jack Underwood, began the introduction, as we always did whenever we went on the road, with a national anthem, the introduction of the team. We introduced Coach Seavers to do the rest of the introductions. Bob ran up, threw out the script, and said, before we get into the rest of the introductions, I've got to find out if any of my dad's relatives are here. And everybody's looking around, looking for relatives. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why I did it.
I remember that. He did, too.
That is a true story.
I looked out, and Bob was so red and so embarrassed. There were 3,200 people in that gymnasium, standing room only. Everybody is laughing in tears. Bob is turning red. I said, Bob, here I am!
He did.
Sometimes these things happen, you know. And in fact, I almost blushed that night. But our experiences with our extended WoWo family were incredibly precious. Bob and Jay, the people that I work with for 2 hours, because Bob came in to prepare his program, something you don't see with radio personalities these days. Bob and I would have a chance to talk. He would share a little philosophy, a little insight. Jay would come in. He would always take my newspaper and say, Calvin, you take all the news out of it. But these guys helped to give me a sense of people, an appreciation for community, an appreciation for spirit. We're here today to say thank you to Mr. WoWo. Bob, we couldn't do it without you. Thank you very much. And here I am, Bob. Here I am.
Well, those WoWo Aces basketball games, they were something else. I remember Whitco. I think I broke my left elbow with that one. Really? Someone said, are the Air Aces still going on? No, they are not. And the reason are, we're just too doggone old, to be truthful with you. In the Air Aces basketball, I dislocated a right shoulder one time, broke a left elbow up at White Pigeon, Michigan, and the other one, I didn't even make it into the season. I broke my left wrist, and Sharon says, that's it, it's over for you, pal. And, yes.
Which pigeon was that again?
White Pigeon, I'm sorry. Pardon me, please. Yes, yes. Calvin, that was 1968. See, that's the reason. We are going to have one of our video presentations, so if you folks can look towards the rear, we're going to have some up front here and some at the back. And let me tell you who this gentleman is going to be, and you longtime WoWo listeners will remember, Cal Stewart Bowwinkle, and a former WoWo personality, original member of the Fabulous Four, and Cal is now associated in Sacramento, California, general manager of the public television station out there. So, Chris, if you will, let's hear from Cal.
Hello, Bob. Oh, I know, I haven't changed a bit, right? Always almost bald. Always heavy. And, of course, I look so young thanks to this Ben Nye light bronze that I'm wearing. Bob, it's a big day for you, a big evening, retiring after all these years of service to WoWo, and that's truly what you've given it, great, great service. When Bob Chase called me about this, I tried to think of some of the things we went through, and I may have to refer to notes here once in a while. Remember the day Guy Harris came in and said, we're dropping the network. Starting Monday, you're all disc jockeys. You looked at me, I looked at you, we both looked at Sam. What's a disc jockey? Well, we found out. And I'll never forget Sam and Nancy, Jack and Roy. How about the tough times we had accepting the fact that we would play Rock Around the Clock at 8:15 in the morning? That was a tough one. How about the day Ray James was ending up the farm show and he pulled out that little bit of imitation dog do? You couldn't close the show and I had to play my theme all the way through. You were laughing so hard. And of course, I never will forget the time I got a phone call at home at 5 o'clock in the morning. I think it was Leo calling from the transmitter. Said, Cal, Bob checked in, but we haven't heard from him since. So I get out of bed, get in the car, and halfway down Harrison when I hear, this is Bob Seavers, good morning. And of course, I had to go in and find out what happened. You'd been up all night at a record hop, went in, got everything ready, sat down to tie your shoe, and you fell asleep. That I will not forget. And Bob, I'll never forget you either. If anybody could ever be called Mr. Fort Wayne Radio, it's Bob Seavers. For all you've done for so many people, for all you've done for so many causes, they're thanking you, and I thank you for being a friend. My best to Harriet, and my best to you in retirement. And don't trip over the bucket on the way out to the Little Red Barn. See you soon, Bob. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, you see, Bob, I got to explain it. He couldn't hear you. See, that's just a picture back there. He's thanking him. Did you hear that?
Jeez.
I'm being polite.
You get move back over to this side. You belong with these guys. Believe me.
No.
They took a vote. Next gentleman, Smokey Montgomery, and Smokey may have to leave early because, of course, he's one of the organizers of the hop and needs to get downstairs, so we need to get him up here. Local businessman, talented showman, respected speaker, and prime organizer of Toastmasters, not only in Fort Wayne, but also the state, and, the Harold Stassen of Fort Wayne, Smokey Montgomery.
Mr. Toastmaster, fellow Toastmasters and guests, I took an average of the time. They told me 3 minutes, and I mean 3 minutes sharp. I took an average of Cal, and other, it comes to 6 minutes and 37 seconds. Each one is averaging that much, so lean back, Dugan, and relax yourself. I want to compliment you for keeping this show on the road.
We got a clock on you, Smokey.
I wouldn't doubt that. I came to Fort Wayne in 1952, and from the minute I got here, I said, you ought to start playing golden oldies. That's where the future is for WOW. But at the time, they had Sam and Nancy Lee on in the morning playing country music. I met Bob Seavers. They said he had a recording studio in his home and would cut up a couple of records for me. At the time, I was selling medicine to doctors. Went out to Bob's house. I was a drug pusher back then. I went out to Bob Seavers' house, and you're talking about clutter. If you've ever been in my office at the record shop, they accuse me of, this man's house, you can't get to talk to him because he's either out feeding pigeons or squirrels or the dog, what's that dog's name, Molly B. or whatever his name was?
Molly.
Well, I didn't know he was talking to his wife or his dog there with most of the time. Then we get ready to do some recording, and he'd turn on some kind of a ham operator, and the light would come on. When he turns on his illegal or his ham set there, every light in the house comes on, whether it's turned on or not. That was not. But Bob said, that's right. But Bob said, I can't do much for you, Smokey, because you're in the country field. The man at WO that loves country music is Sam DeVincent. So I met Sam, was on Sam's show, and Sam found out I played the guitar. They said, WO is going to have a Christmas party, and we need some good entertainment that works cheap. Would you come and do something for us? And I did. And they are cheap. That's for sure. I never saw a bigger bunch of people. Of course, I didn't know who they were. That was back when Herbie Hayworth was still here.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay Gould and all those other other people from the staff. I met Carl Vandegrift. He couldn't stand country music. He said, well, we'll play a Johnny Cash now and then, but we can't stand country. I thought that was pretty good. But I had a lot of fun with Bob because Bob had always told me, I said, Bob, I want you to take a trip with us down on our bus tour to the Grand Ole Opry. By the way, my tour director's here tonight, Carolyn Lindemeyer, and her husband, Dan. And I promised her, I said, as soon as he retires, he is going to go to the Grand Ole Opry with us. But he lied. When he retired, he goes to work for a competitor, Gruinger Travel, and he's too good to go to the Grand Ole Opry. He goes to all over the world. We wouldn't let him take his camera and take pictures. That was, I think, what really did it. Bob.
Sometime I will.
I know. I've heard that for 30 years. Anyway. But that was a lot of fun. But I did tell them about Golden Oldies. I gave them a list. If you'll look around your table, you'll find one just like this. I gave this to, what was his name? Carl. I gave this list to Carl Vandegrift in 1952 and said, start playing those and your ratings will go up. Now, I could stay here all night and tell funny stories,
Yeah,
I could. But like Mason said to Dixon, you got to draw a line somewhere.
Thanks, Smokey.
Thank you, Smokey. And before I forget, for goodness sakes, we owe Smokey another big, big thank you. When you get down to the hop tonight, you see all those balloons hanging from the ceiling. Thanks, Smokey, for the hot air. We appreciate that. We're honest to goodness, too. Really. Next gentleman, he was a boss of all of ours not too long ago and treated us mainly well. Mr. Al Mitchell, former WoWo program manager, and Al has had a varied radio career and has done a lot of good things and has helped a lot of folks. And as we think back, some of the suggestions, heck, they were demands that he placed upon us. We understand why, and they helped us, and they helped us improve. He also has been a radio consultant, a Chicago broadcaster, another very respected station, WBBM, and is currently found out where the money is, as has Larry Kenny. We'll tell you about it later. Freelance commercial announcer. Now, you hear Al on a lot of the McDonald's commercials and I think also some of the Pillsbury commercials. Are you the Pillsbury Doughboy? Is that?
Wish
you were. Al Mitchell.
Thank you. Robert? Good to be here tonight. I was program director of WoWo in 1969 through 1972. This is the days of people like Calvin Richards and Larry Kenny and Listo Fisher.
Well, you fired me, Alan.
I tried. God knows I tried. And I came to Fort Wayne from Minneapolis and Chicago having programmed some radio stations and was brought in here to throw out the Ray Conniff and Percy Faith records and play some rock and roll, although Carl Vandegrift did say, could we not play those oldies as Smokies? I recall that very strongly. So I spent 3 years having a great time in this town. We found a new weatherman named Earl Finkel, who we gave a try, and we called pay phones at Christmas time and had people saying, ho, ho, whoa, whoa. Those are some of the things I was involved in. And I was always told that, well, when you go to Fort Wayne, things are different there. And now they always tell you that in every market, every radio person, it's always different, and you always say, no, it isn't. Because of this man, yes, it's true. Things are different in Fort Wayne, and I learned how much they're different. And let me just share a couple of stories with you. I hope you'll hear about Nanny Berry pancakes from somebody else and the day that Bob ran the real EBS alert and Fort Wayne thought we were going to war. But... you really did. Yeah, the full...
That wasn't my fault.
Opened the envelope, the code words matched, and he ran it. This is not a test. This is an EBS emergency. Yes.
You remember that?
I do remember. Hey, I was the program director. They called and said, what is he doing? There are two things that come to mind, especially for me, about Bob Sievers. And one was the day that Bob became a mom, and the other was the big contract negotiation. And let me start with the first. The day that Bob became a mom was the day when he rescued a baby albino robin, who I believe got the name Robbie, the robin. And Bob started reporting...
We named it Winston.
Was it Winston?
Wasn't it Winston?
Winston, all right. And each day on the air, Bob would report in on what he was feeding Winston the robin and how Winston was doing. And Winston grew and got better and was ready to be released. And this Winston became a media superstar. I mean, everybody was glued to the radio every morning for the bird report. This is a little new to me. You don't do this a lot in Minneapolis or Chicago. And
as my boss, he told me about
it. Well, this went on for weeks. I don't even know. It may have been months. And there are several endings to this story, kind of a good news, bad news. The bad news was Winston died. However, he had become such a media celebrity, Bob just wouldn't flush it down the toilet, so we had to do something with Winston. Winston eventually was stuffed, as I understand, and wound up as a major exhibit in the Children's Zoo, and people traveled from all over the area to
actually,
see it.
Actually, the Dean Museum, where our money's going tonight, the
okay.
Dean Museum.
And now I know many of you thought that Winston may have been lost in the fires back then, but I'm very happy to report that Winston is now serving as a pigeon and is here with us tonight. The other memory I'll cover real quickly was a major, this is a true story about Bob, a major 3-year contract negotiation. We had to sign a new contract. Bob has somewhere between a 46 and 52 share in Morning Drive. For you non-radio people, that's unbelievable. You don't get that big an audience. So we sat down, and I don't know what's going to happen here, but I know we got to cut a new 3-year deal with Bob Seavers. We talked a little bit, and Bob allowed us how he thought he might be worth $10 to $15 a week more.
It was my wife's idea.
And somewhat apologetic. And I said that we wouldn't be able to do that and countered, I think it was 50 or 75 a week at the time. And Bob allowed us how he'd accept 50 or 75, I'm not sure the exact figure, a week, if we were sure we could afford it. And we assured him that Westinghouse Electric probably could cover that amount of money. True story about this wonderful man. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the world premier nice guy. Bob, you're always number one in my book. Thank you.
Al,
give him one of these, Bob.
That's tonight.
I want to say one thing. They were talking about Winston. The first Robin I raised was Robbie. And one day, my...